Chapter 35. Circumstances. I then went to my friend Louis, who had sent to see me. He talks of nothing but retiring to his estate in Wales. He gave me reasons to believe the whole matter is settled between the Queen and the Whigs. He hears that Lord Somers is to be treasurer, and believes that, sooner than turn out the Duchess of Somerset, she will dissolve the Parliament, and get a Whiggish one, which may be done by managing elections. Things are now in the crisis, and a day or two will determine. I have desired him to engage Lord Treasurer, that as soon as he finds the change is resolved on, he will send me abroad as Queen's Secretary somewhere or other, where I may remain till the new ministers recall me, and then I will be sick for 5 or 6 months, till the storm has spent itself. I hope he will grant me this, for I should hardly trust myself to the mercy of my enemies, while their anger is fresh. I dined today with the secretary, who affects mirth, and seems to hope all will yet be well. I took him aside after dinner, told him how I had served him, and had asked no reward, but thought I might ask security, and then desired the same thing of him, to send me abroad before a change. He embraced me, and swore he would take the same care of me as himself, etc., but bid me have courage, for that in 2 days my Lord Treasurer's wisdom would appear greater than ever, that he suffered all that had happened on purpose, and had taken measures to turn it to advantage. I said, God send it, but I do not believe a syllable, and, as far as I can judge, the game is lost. I shall know more soon, and my letters will at least be a good history, to show you the steps of this change. 10. I was this morning with Louis, who thinks they will let the Parliament sit till they have given the money, and then dissolve them in spring, and break the ministry. He spoke to Lord Treasurer about what I desired him. My Lord desired him with great earnestness, to assure me that all would be well, and that I should fear nothing. I dined in the city with a friend. This day the Commons went to the Queen with their address, and all the lords who were for the peace went with them, to show their zeal. I have now some further conviction that the Queen is false, and it begins to be known. 11. I went between 2 and 3 to see Mrs. Masham. While I was there she went to her bedchamber to try a petticoat. Lord Treasurer came in to see her, and seeing me in the outer room, fell a rallying me. Says he, you had better keep company with me than with such a fellow as Louis, who has not the soul of a chicken, nor the heart of a mite. Then he went in to Mrs. Masham, and as he came back desired her leave to let me go home with him to dinner. He asked whether I was not afraid to be seen with him. I said I never valued my Lord Treasurer in my life, and therefore should have always the same esteem for Mr. Harley and Lord Oxford. He seemed to talk confidently, as if he reckoned that all this would turn to advantage. I could not forbear hinting that he was not sure of the Queen, and that those scoundrel, starving lords would never have dared to vote against the court if Somerset had not assured them that it would please the Queen. He said that was true, and Somerset did so. I stayed till 6. Then Debye, the Dutch envoy, came to him, and I left him. Prior was with us a while after dinner. I see him, and all of them cast down, though they make the best of it. 12. Ford has come to town. I saw him last night. He is in no fear, but sanguine, although I have told him the state of things. This change so resembles the last, that I wonder they do not observe it. The secretary sent for me yesterday to dine with him, but I was abroad. I hope he had something to say to me. This is morning, and I write in bed. I am going to the Duke of Ormond, whom I have not yet seen. Morrow, sirs. At night. I was to see the Duke of Ormond this morning. He asked me 2 or 3 questions after his civil way, and they related to Ireland. At last I told him that, from the time I had seen him, I never once thought of Irish affairs. He whispered me that he hoped I had done some good things here. I said, if everybody else had done half as much, we should not be as we are. Then we went aside and talked over affairs. I told him how all things stood, and advised him what was to be done. I then went and sat an hour with the Duchess, then as long with Lady Oglethorpe, 17, who was so cunning a devil, that I believe she could yet find a remedy, if they would take her advice. I dined with a friend at court. 13. I was this morning with the secretary. He will needs pretend to talk, as if things would be well. Ill you believe it, said he, if you see these people turned out? I said, yes, if I saw the Duke and Duchess of Somerset out. He swore if they were not, he would give up his place. Our society dined today at Sir William Wyndham's. We were 13 present. Lord Orry and 2 other members were introduced. I left them at 7. I forgot to tell you that the printer told me yesterday that Morphew, the publisher, was sent for by that Lord Chief Justice, who was a manager against Sacheverell. He showed him 2 or 3 papers and pamphlets. Among the rest mine of the conduct of the Allies, threatened him, asked who was the author, and has bound him over to appear next term. He would not have the impudence to do this, if he did not foresee what was coming at court. 14. Lord Shelburne was with me this morning, to be informed of the state of affairs, and desired I would answer all his objections against a peace, which was soon done, for he would not give me room to put in a word. He is a man of good sense enough, but argues so violently, that he will some day or other put himself into a consumption. He desires that he may not be denied, when he comes to see me, which I promised, but will not perform. Leanne Stern set out for Ireland on Monday sennight. I suppose they will be with you long before this. I was tonight drinking very good wine in scurvy company, at least some of them. I was drawn in, but will be more cautious for the future, 'tis late, etc. 15. Morning. They say the occasional Bill 19 is brought today into the House of Lords, but I know not. I will now put an end to my letter, and give it into the post house myself. This will be a memorable letter, and I shall sigh to see it some years hence. Here are the first steps toward the ruin of an excellent ministry. For I look upon them as certainly ruined, and God knows what may be the consequences. I now bid my dearest M.D. farewell, for company is coming, and I must be at Lord Dartmouth's office by noon. Farewell, dearest M.D., I wish you a Merry Christmas. I believe you will have this about that time. Love Presto, who loves M.D. above all things 1,000 times. Farewell again, dearest M.D., etc. Letter 37. London, December 15, 1711. I put in my letter this evening myself. I was today inquiring at the secretary's office of Mr. Lewis how things went. I there met Prior, who told me he gave all for gone, etc., and was of opinion the whole ministry would give up their places next week. Lewis thinks they will not till spring, when the session is over. Both of them entirely despair. I went to see Mrs. Masham, who invited me to dinner, but I was engaged to Lewis. At 4 I went to Masham's. He came and whispered me that he had it from a very good hand, that all would be well, and I found them both very cheerful. The company was going to the opera, but desired I would come and sup with them. I did so at 10, and Lord Treasurer was there, and sat with us till past 12, and was more cheerful than I have seen him these 10 days. Mrs. Masham told me he was mightily cast down some days ago, and he could not indeed hide it from me. Arbuthnot is in good hopes that the Queen has not betrayed us, but only has been frightened, and flattered, etc. But I cannot yet be of his opinion, whether my reasons are better, or that my fears are greater. I do resolve, if they give up, or are turned out soon, to retire for some months, and I have pitched upon the place already. But I will take methods for hearing from M.D., and writing to them. But I would be out of the way upon the first of the ferment, for they lay all things on me, even some I have never read. 16. I took courage today, and went to court with a very cheerful countenance. It was mightily crowded, both parties coming to observe each other's faces. I have avoided Lord Halifax's bow till he forced it on me, but we did not talk together. I could not make less than 80 bows, of which about 20 might be 2 wicks. The Duke of Somerset is gone to Petworth, and, I hear, the Duchess too, of which I shall be very glad. Prince Eugene, one who was expected here some days ago, we are now told, will not come at all. The Whigs designed to have met him with 40,000 horse. Lord Treasurer told me some days ago of his discourse with the Emperor's resident, that puppy Hoffman, about Prince Eugene's coming, by which I found my lord would hinder it, if he could. And we shall be all glad, if he does not come, and think it a good point gained. Sir Andrew Fountain, Ford, and I dined today with Mrs. Van, by invitation. 17. I have mistaken the day of the month, and been forced to mend it thrice. I dined today with Mr. Masham and his lady, by invitation. Lord Treasurer was to be there, but came not. It was to entertain Byes, the Dutch envoy, who speaks English well enough. He was plaguily politic, telling 1,000 lies, of which none passed upon any of us. We are still in the condition of suspense, and I think have little hopes. The Duchess of Somerset is not gone to Petworth, only the Duke, and that is a poor sacrifice. I believe the Queen certainly designs to change the ministry, but perhaps may put it off till the session is over. And I think they had better give up now, if she will not deal openly, and then they need not answer for the consequences of a peace, when it is in other hands, and may yet be broken. They say my Lord Privy Seal sets out for Holland this week. So the peace goes on. 18. It has rained hard from morning till night, and cost me 3 shillings in coach hire. We have had abundance of wet weather. I dined in the city, and was with the printer, who has now a 5th edition of The Conduct, etc. It is in small, and sold for 6d. They have printed as many as 3 editions, because they are to be sent in numbers into the country by great men, etc., who subscribe for hundreds. It has been sent a fortnight ago to Ireland. I suppose you will print it there. The Tory lords and commons in Parliament argue all from it, and all agree that never anything of that kind was of so great consequence, or made so many converts. By the time I have sent this letter, I expect to hear from little M.D. It will be a month, 2 days hence, since I had your last, and I will allow 10 days for accidents. I cannot get rid of the leavings of a cold I got a month ago, or else it is a new one. I have been writing letters all this evening till I am weary, and I am sending out another little thing, which I hope to finish this week, and design to send to the printer in an unknown hand. There was printed a Grub Street speech of Lord Nottingham, too, and he was such an owl, to complain of it in the House of Lords, who have taken up the printer for it. I heard at court, that Walpole III, a great Whig member, said, that I and my whimsical club writ it at one of our meetings, and that I should pay for it. He will find he lies. And I shall let him know by a third hand my thoughts of him. He is to be Secretary of State, if the ministry changes, but he has lately had a bribe proved against him in Parliament, while he was Secretary at War. He is one of the Whig's chief speakers. 19. Sad dismal weather. I went to the Secretary's office, and Lewis made me dine with him. I intended to have dined with Lord Treasurer. I have not seen the Secretary this week. Things do not mend at all. Lord Dartmouth despairs, and is for giving up. Lewis is of the same mind. But Lord Treasurer only says, Poh, all will be well. I am come home early to finish something I am doing, but I find I want art and humor, and would read any idle book that came in my way. I have just sent away a penny paper to make a little mischief. Patrick is gone to the burial of an Irish footman, who was Dr. King's servant. He died of a consumption, a fit death for a poor starving wits footman. The Irish servants always club to bury a countryman. 20. I was with the Secretary this morning, and, for aught I can see, we shall have a languishing death. I can know nothing, nor themselves neither. I dined, you know, with our society, and that odious secretary would make me president next week. So I must entertain them this day and night at the Thatched House Tavern, 5, where we dine today. It will cost me £5 or £6, yet the secretary says he will give me wine. I found a letter when I came home from the Bishop of Clare. 21. This is the first time I ever got a new cold before the old one was going. It came yesterday, and appeared in all due forms, eyes and nose running, etc., and is now very bad, and I cannot tell how I got it. Sir Andrew Fountain and I were invited to dine with Mrs. Van. I was this morning with the Duke of Ormond, and neither he nor I can think of anything to comfort us in present affairs. We must certainly fall, if the Duchess of Somerset be not turned out, and nobody believes the Queen will ever part with her. The Duke and I were settling when Mr. Secretary and I should dine with him, and he fixes upon Tuesday, and when I came away I remembered it was Christmas Day. I was to see Lady who is just up after lying in, and the ugliest sight I have seen, pale, dead, old and yellow, for want of her paint. As he has turned my stomach. But she will soon be painted, and a beauty again. 22. I find myself disordered with a pain all round the small of my back, which I imputed to champagne I had drunk, but find it to have been only my new cold. It was a fine frosty day, and I resolved to walk into the city. I called at Lord Treasurer's at 11, and stayed some time with him. He showed me a letter from a great Presbyterian parson, 6, to him, complaining how their friends had betrayed them by passing this conformity bill, and he showed me the answer he had written, which his friends would not let him send, but was a very good one. He is very cheerful, but gives one no hopes, nor has any to give. I went into the city, and there I dined. 23. Morning. As I was dressing to go to church, a friend that was to see me advised me not to stir out, so I shall keep at home today, and only eat some broth, if I can get it. It is a terrible cold frost, and snow fell yesterday, which still remains. Look there, you may see it from the penthouses. The Lords made yesterday 2 or 3 votes about peace, and Hanover, of a very angry kind to vex the ministry, and they will meet sooner by a fortnight than the Commons, and they say, are preparing some knocking addresses. Morrow, sirs, I'll sit at home, and when I go to bed I will tell you how I am. I have sat at home all day, and eaten only a mess of broth and a roll. I have written a prophecy, 7, which I designed to print. I did it today, and some other verses. 24. I went into the city today in a coach, and dined there. My cold is going. It is now bitter hard frost, and has been so these 3 or 4 days. My prophecy is printed, and will be published after Christmas Day. I like it mightily. I don't know how it will pass. You will never understand it at your distance, without help. I believe everybody will guess it to be mine, because it is somewhat in the same manner with that of Erlen 8 in the Miscellanies. My Lord Privy Seal set out this day for Holland. He'll have a cold journey. I gave Patrick half a crown for his Christmas box, on condition he would be good, and he came home drunk at midnight. I have taken a memorandum of it, because I never designed to give him a groat more. 'Tis cruel cold. 25. I wish M.D. a Merry Christmas, and many a one, but mine is melancholy. I durst not go to church today, finding myself a little out of order, and it snowing prodigiously, and freezing. At noon I went to Mrs. Van, who had this week engaged me to dine there today. And there I received the news that poor Mrs. Long, 9, died at Lynn in Norfolk on Saturday last, at 4 in the morning. She was sick but 4 hours. We suppose it was the asthma, which she was subject to as well as the dropsy, as she sent me word in her last letter, written about 5 weeks ago, but then said she was recovered. I never was more afflicted at any death. The poor creature had retired to Lynn 2 years ago, to live cheap, and pay her debts. In her last letter she told me she hoped to be easy by Christmas. And she kept her word, although she meant it otherwise. S.E. had all sorts of amiable qualities, and no ill ones, but the indiscretion of too much neglect in her own affairs. S.E. had £2,000 left her by an old grandmother, 10, with which she intended to pay her debts, and live on an annuity S.E. had of £100 a year, and Newburgh House, which would be about £60 more. That odious grandmother living so long, forced her to retire. For the £2,000 was settled on her after the old woman's death, yet her brute of a brother, Sir James Long, 11, would not advance it for her, else she might have paid her debts, and continued here, and lived still. I believe melancholy helped her on to her grave. I have ordered a paragraph, to be put in the postboy, 12, giving an account of her death, and making honorable mention of her, which is all I can do to serve her memory. But one reason was spite, for her brother would fain have her death a secret, to save the charge of bringing her up here to bury her, or going into mourning. Pardon all this, for the sake of a poor creature I had so much friendship for. 26. I went to Mr. Secretary this morning, and he would have me dine with him. I called at noon at Mrs. Masham's, who desired me not to let the prophecy be published, for fear of angering the Queen about the Duchess of Somerset, so I writ to the printer to stop them. They have been printed and given about, but not sold. I saw Lord Treasurer there, who had been 2 hours with the Queen, and Mrs. Masham is in hopes things will do well again. I went at night again, and supped at Mr. Masham's, and Lord Treasurer sat with us till 1 o'clock. So 'tis late, etc. 27. I entertained our society at the Thatched House Tavern today at dinner, but Brother Bathurst sent for wine, the house affording none. The printer had not received my letter, and so he brought up dozens apiece of the prophecy, but I ordered him to part with no more. 'Tis an admirable good one, and people are mad for it. The frost still continues violently cold. Mrs. Masham invited me to come tonight and play at cards, but our society did not part till 9. But I supped with Mrs. Hill, her sister, and there was Mrs. Masham and Lord Treasurer, and we stayed till 12. He is endeavoring to get a majority against next Wednesday, when the House of Lords is to meet, and the Whigs intend to make some violent addresses against a peace, if not prevented. God knows what will become of us. It is still prodigiously cold, but so I told you already. We have eggs on the spit, I wish they may not be addled. When I came home tonight I found, forsooth, a letter from M.D.N. 224-24-24-24, there, do you know the numbers now? And at the same time one from Joe, 13, full of thanks. Let him know I have received it, and am glad of his success, but won't put him to the charge of a letter. I had a letter some time ago from Mr. Warburton, 14, and I beg one of you will copy out what I shall tell you, and send it by some opportunity to Warburton. 'Tis as follows. The doctor has received Mr. Warburton's letter, and desires he will let the doctor know where, 15, that accident he mentions, is like soon to happen, and he will do what he can in it. And pray, madam, let them know that I do this to save. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.